How can we possibly understand the devastation 2,000 years after the fact? Jerusalem and its holy temple razed to the ground. The center of Jewish life, all of it, not just some narrowly religious part, destroyed. Today's readings capture the veneration accorded to the temple and to Jerusalem, not for their own sakes, but because they afforded access to the holy. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jews needed time to imagine what form Jewish life should take after the temple's destruction. They decided to orient themselves around the body of the law and its rabbinic interpreters. By binding themselves in reverence to the law, Jews sought to sanctify ordinary life and live perpetually in the presence of the divine, temple or no temple. Jewish Jesus followers made a different decision. They chose to orient themselves around the body of Jesus. Quite radically in today's gospel, Jesus becomes the new temple. And as you know, within a single generation, Christians came to see themselves as the body of Christ. Two compelling ways of living life with God, but without the temple. Jews and Christians need to keep learning from each other as we live out these two types of covenant faithfulness, these two ways of living without the temple. The Gospel of John, written in the 90s, two decades after the temple's destruction, is part of the process by which Jewish followers are working all this out, Jewish Jesus followers, that is. They ask the question, how do we live without the temple and without the body of Jesus? A double trauma to work out. This reading from today is part of that demanding trauma work of finding meaning after devastation. So what exactly is going on in the gospel reading? We began today at verse 18, severely lacking in context. The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" What are they talking about? What did Jesus do? Rather dramatically cleared the temple, that's what. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." That's a rather crucial bit to leave off. In light of Jesus' apparently egregious actions, the response reported in verse 18 is surprisingly mild. What sign can you show us for doing this? The verse says the Jews, as if Jesus was not also Jewish, wanted a sign. They request some proof of Jesus' authority. So they asked him, "By what right have you performed this prophetic deed?" Those Jews understood that Jesus did not just momentarily lose the plot and flip out. His action was meaningful. It recalls all the strange and unruly deeds that the Hebrew Bible prophets did to call Israel to account in God's name. So they ask him, "Well, Jesus, that was kind of impressive. Demonstrate by some miraculous sign that you have the authority to perform such a deed." The gospel writer has Jesus refer to his coming resurrection. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Jesus' response is an enigmatic but emphatic no. I will give you no other sign. At least not now. Why not? Within the narrative logic of John's gospel, Jesus could have whipped up a minor miracle. That would have done the trick. Or would it? Jesus was aware that performing a miraculous sign would have drawn attention away from his prophetic deed, which was itself the sign. Driving away those merchants who were forced to be extortionists, likely in order to pay exorbitant taxes to their imperial Roman overlords. That was the sign. Perform another miracle, and that would become the talk of the town. Did you hear what that Jesus fellow did? He levitated. No, Matthias, really? Yeah, one moment the guy flips out in the temple, and the next he up and levitates. You can imagine how this goes. Some believe the sign, others take it to be a cheap magic trick. And soon the clearing of the temple, a deed performed in love and profound moral fervor, is forgotten. Jesus knows what Dostoevsky's Grand Inquisitor knows. It is easy to rule and control people by appeal to miracle and magic and imposed authority. But Jesus refuses. In effect, Jesus says, no razzmatazz, no flashbang claims to authority, but only the inner authority of my life lived in fidelity to the Father. That is the only sign I have to offer. If you want to follow my way, then do as I do. Live as I live. Later in the gospel, Jesus will say to his disciples, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How will folks know us to be Jesus' disciples? What signs must we perform to prove our authority? We, who are Christ's body made community, will also tender no miraculous proofs. We will offer nothing save our love for one another and love for God's broken but beautiful world. Nothing less, nothing more. And in so doing, through our loving deeds and compassionate prayers, our bricks and mortar, we strive in the power of the Holy Spirit to build a new Jerusalem, a commonwealth of justice and peace, the beloved community. May it be so.